Good morning. Good morning. Great to see you. So glad that you're joining us here at The Forge. If this is your first time, you are joining us on week two of our series, which is called Catalysts, and I'll explain a little bit more in just a moment. I just want to pass on one little piece of news. Some of you will have already heard this, but we had a family that worked with our church called the Johnston family. They left The Forge to go to America to work in Nashville. I mean, Debenham, Nashville, which one do you prefer, you know? But fairly soon after they got out there, their daughter, Isla, they discovered after her having headaches that she had got a brain tumor. And she, over this last year, has been going through operations and various treatments for that cancer. And I heard yesterday in a blog that Finn, her dad, wrote to say that the most recent scan, there is not a trace of cancer anymore, that even spots that they were concerned about have gone, and that I think she's seven. I think she's seven. So this is absolutely, she's eight. Thank you. She was seven, because of course she was, because you have to be seven before you become eight. But anyway, I realized as soon as I said, yes, anyway. But isn't that great news? So let me just pray, because so many of us have prayed so much for that situation. Father God, to be able to stand here and to give that news is quite remarkable. Lord, forgive me for my lack of faith of ever really believing that this could happen, but it has, and you've just shown again what an amazing God you are. So thank you for standing with that family. Thank you for bringing healing to little Isla, and Lord, we pray your blessing on them as a family today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last summer, I got talking with a lady called Becky Banks. Becky used to be part of our church here at The Forge, and she's now working, or she recently got a job with a church in Andover in the south of England, and it was a full-time role, and her pastor, a guy called Chris Porter, who has spoken here before, asked her within the first few weeks of her working for the church to actually just invest some time in looking at some surveys that had happened over the last number of years to work out what is it that helps people to move forward in life and in faith. And so, over the next few weeks, she did just that. She was looking at all the results of these various surveys, some going back kind of 15 years and others which have just happened over the last couple of years. And she discovered the following things. She said for people, and this is what she was talking to me about, she says for people to get out of their stuckness of just being kind of stuck in life, movement matters most, she says. And she said this, that every stage of spiritual growth, we engage in activities that contribute to our development. In other things, there are certain things that we can do to help bring momentum to our lives and to our faith. And some activities are this, catalysts. That is, that they are significant predictors of forward movement on the spiritual growth journey. And then she summarized her findings, and I loved it because it was so simple, it was so clear. She said there are four significant catalysts that help to move people on in their life and in their faith. And if you were here last week, you'll know that lots of this applies to Slimming World, all right? So I just thought I'd mention that. But here we go. These were the four things, because a catalyst is an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. And she spoke about these four things: real relationships, new mindsets, better habits, and brave moves. Those four things are the catalysts that help to move people on in their faith. And so last week, we had a brief look at what it means to have real relationships, relationships that reach below the surface. You know, we can project a certain kind of image of ourselves, and there's a whole load that we don't really want people to know. And because we keep it hidden, often those things are never addressed. But it's through those real relationships where people can ask questions of us, people who can say, how's this going? And to kind of hold that accountability, that proves to be a significant catalyst for moving people forward. That's certainly been the case in my life when I have allowed other people to know the real me and allowing them to speak into my life. And so last week, we had a whole load of questions that we just asked people to consider. They were on your cards from last week, but they're not on the cards for this week. Here we go. Building relationships that reach below the surface, who have you allowed to know the real you? Not the covered you, not the Instagram you, not the Facebook you, but the real you. And who do you trust enough to help bring accountability to your relationship with God and relationship with others? In other words, who's asking the important questions to help you to move forward in faith? Who asks you how your relationships are going? Who asks you how you're using your time, your money? Who does that? Or is that all just private and no one can get anywhere near? If we put up a barrier, it means that it's a no-go area and we don't change. So relationships, what's the next step you can take this week to begin to move towards developing real relationships? That's the thought that we had this last week. What I want to be able to do today is I want us to be thinking about the second one of these. It's of new mindsets. In a moment, I'm going to ask all of you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I will just show you to start with what you need to do. I want you to be looking up like this, and I want you to imagine that there's a clock kind of looking down from the ceiling. And I want you to get your index finger, and I want you to go clockwise around the clock, from the 12 to the 3 to the 6 to the 9 to the 12, and just to do that circling like that. And then I'm going to ask you just to lower your finger. Always keep your finger in that vertical position and just go round. And so it's almost like spiraling down, so it's in front of your face, and then go below your chin. That's what I want you to do, okay? Do everyone understand that? Yeah? Okay, can I ask you to stand then, please? Now, there's one really important thing which I want you to remember, that you need to do this. I'm sure it won't work if you did it anti. It has to be clockwise, okay? It has to be clockwise. So if everyone would like to look up now, if you'd like to point your, get your index finger and now start circling round, going round clockwise. Remember, from the 12 to the 3 to the 6 to the 9 to the 12. Keep going round. Now start to lower it down, spiral it down, spiral it down in front of your face. Now under your chin. Now just take a look at your finger. Make sure you're still going clockwise. Just have a look. Have a look at your finger. Make sure you're still going clockwise. Still go clock. No, come on. What are you doing? No, come on. Do it again. You've done it wrong, haven't you? I said clockwise. All the time clockwise. It doesn't work otherwise. Come on. Hand up in the air. Come on. Here we go. Go round. Go round the clock. Come on. Clockwise, clockwise, clockwise. Spiral it down. Come on. In front of your face now. Now below your chin. Look down. Make sure you're going clockwise. You're going clockwise. Okay. Sit yourselves down. Sit yourselves down. Now, for those of you who ended up going clockwise, you cheated because you changed. Because you see, isn't it amazing that just with that movement, just with that movement where you are convinced you are going clockwise, when you look at it from a different position, it's the complete opposite. That's what perspective does for us. Interesting, isn't it? The same movement that you can switch from clockwise to anti-clockwise just by changing perspective. You see, having a new mindset is all about seeing something from a different perspective. I have a daughter. Her name is Rachel. In fact, I have two daughters, but my youngest daughter, Rachel and Theo, went out to the Gold Coast in Australia last August. He's working in a hospital, and she was able to get a job with a holiday company working as one of their marketing people. And ever since she started this job, whenever she spoke about it on the phone to either Sarah or I, she would say how much she hated her job. She did. Every single time. She hated her job. She hated going in. And she called a few weeks ago, and she says said to Sarah and I, she said, "I've had an epiphany." I mean, to start with, I didn't even realize she knew that word. But, I mean, that's just great, isn't it? She said, "I've had an epiphany." So we said, "Go on, explain." She said, I used to think that I hated my work. I hated my job. I hated my job. And then she said, on my way home, I've suddenly realized that I'm being asked to do things which I have never done before or haven't even been trained to do. And they are giving me a whole load of more responsibility than I've ever had. And so at times I feel a little bit out of my depth. And she said, but I realized that although it's hard, although I'm being stretched, she said, and it feels uncomfortable, actually, she says, I think I'm going to grow in that place. And she says, so actually, I don't hate my job. My job is just hard. It's just challenging. And do you know what? Ever since, she's gone into work with a new mindset. It isn't a mindset that says, I hate my job. It's going in with that, this is a difficult job, but through that, I can grow. The other day, she came home and she called us to tell us that she'd had a great day at work. Now, that's a new mindset. A mindset is a pattern of thinking that we operate out of. In other words, it shapes how we view life, it shapes our attitudes, and it shapes our actions. The mindsets that you and I adopt are really, really powerful because they influence the direction and the trajectory of our life and faith. So it's really, really important that we adopt the right mindsets in life. The mindsets that we adopt have often been shaped by our parents. It's what we've seen modeled or what's been spoken to us about. And so maybe, you know, a parent has said, you need to look after yourself. No one else is going to look after you. And so that becomes a mindset. I have to look after myself because no one else is going to. So we go through life with thinking that that's what I need to do. It might be from our friends who have said stuff or people that we aspire to be like. And we kind of see people. And so we adopt certain mindsets. But sadly, so many people adopt what could be termed as negative or unhealthy mindsets. A mindset which would say, I'm rubbish. That has a huge effect on someone's life and relationships and well-being. If we go through life thinking, I'm rubbish, my value comes through achievement. I tell you, that causes such an inner drive within us, that it's exhausting and it creates stress and it creates anxiety. A mindset of, I've got to control everything. Well, you are going to be on high alert the whole time because you're trying to hold on to everything to make sure that you've got control of it. And that is no way to live. As I was thinking about this, why are so many people living with mental health issues at the moment? Now, this is not the complete picture, but in part, and it might only be a small part, I believe it's because of an unhealthy mindset that people believe something about themselves or something about how others perceive them that shapes their view of life and their attitudes and their actions. This is why it is so important to adopt a healthy mindset that's based on what is true and not just on how we feel or what others have told us. And it's because of that, that kind of unsurprising, that God, who has made us and who loves us, has something to say to us about this. Because when it comes to faith, the catalyst for change happens when we view life, when we view ourselves, when we view our decisions from a different perspective, from God's perspective. Things change when we see things from his perspective. There was a man whose name was Paul. Paul had grown up within the Jewish faith. In fact, he was an incredibly intelligent man. And he had been chosen to study under the most, one of the most famous scholars of the day. The man's name was Gamaliel. And a man called Paul studied under him. And the Jewish law, the way in which the Jews would live is that there was this standard, this law, which you were to go along with by the letter. I tell you, it was there were so many, 662, I think, different laws, and they had explanations for each of those laws. And he was what's known as a Pharisee. So he had learnt from this guru, and now he was going around and teaching people how to live out the Jewish faith. And so when Christians came along and were talking about Jesus, well, he was so put out by that that he was in a position of power that he put some to death and he put others into prison. And then one day, he encountered Jesus and his whole worldview changed. Despite all of his training in this Jewish faith as a Pharisee and his dedication to not breaking the law and feeling very proud about it himself, he suddenly sees things differently. He wrote it down once. He said this. He says, "I have more reason to brag than anyone else. I was," this is as a Jew, "I was circumcised when I was 8 years old," wince, "and I am from the nation of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a true Hebrew. As a Pharisee, I strictly obey the law of Moses, and I was so eager that I even made trouble for the church. I did everything that the law demanded in order to please God." He was fairly puffed up about himself. And then he goes on to say this, "But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable, as in of being so proud of how good I am," he says, "was worthless. Nothing," he says, "is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as garbage." That's a very polite term that he uses there, okay? It has a stronger connotation than that. "All I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him." So do you sense this mindset shift? His mindset had been originally been built around trying to be good. That had shaped how he'd lived. He'd viewed his life so differently. A life now based on knowing Jesus and all that Jesus had done for him. I read those verses because I think those verses are really important for us today. Because our faith, and I think I say this lots, but I'm not sure that we always hear it. Our faith is not based on how good we can be. It's not based upon keeping a whole set of rules. If it is, then we'll one, fail miserably, we'll just mess up and it's just demoralizing. And if we do really well, we naturally become pretty proud of it and we look down on others who aren't as good as us. And honestly, neither of those are good ways to live. So Paul tells his readers to have a mindset that's set on Jesus, not on ourselves, that we live in the security of what Christ Jesus has done for us, not what we can do ourselves, because we can't earn God's love. We can't earn God's acceptance. We can't earn God's affirmation. That's something which God gives to us freely. And so this man, Paul, could operate out of affirmation rather than for affirmation, because he knew how much God loved him. And that was the root of everything that he did. And Paul, who had experienced this change of mind, this completely new outlook, that it's not about how well I keep rules, it's about a relationship with a God who loves me. He then writes to a church to appeal to them to say, come on, you need to do the same. And so he writes these to a church in Rome. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." He says, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's love for you, in view of God's forgiveness, in view of God's grace, in view of all of that, he says, because of God's love, just give yourselves fully to him. Build your life on him. Put him first. And what does that look like? Well, he goes on to say this. He says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Because how we think affects our actions and our attitudes. This still resonates, doesn't it? He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Whether you have a faith or not, you'll have to agree that our culture doesn't do a great job at getting people to think wisely about themselves. We live in a world of this, don't we? Where you have to be richer and skinnier and smarter and taller and prettier and happier and cooler. If you want to get on in life, then that's what you need to do. And the problem with all of that comes the other side. It makes us stressed and anxious and depressed and lonely. And it shouldn't say prettier. So I was just thinking about myself at that point. I'm really sorry. Because when I try, I tell you, oh, I am so pretty. That's right. So, it should be constantly comparing. Constantly comparing. And so Paul, 2,000 years ago, said, the world isn't going to do a good job at shaping your values and the way in which you think. We need to look elsewhere for a new mindset that brings light and freedom and hope. We need to allow God to reshape our thinking. Why? Because he goes on to say this, because then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Listen to this. God's desire for you, God's plan for you, God's will for you, of whether that's through work, whether that's through family, through whatever, his will for you is good for you. His will for you will bring so much pleasure. His will for you is perfect. So he says, trust me, view your life not from your perspective, not from the world's perspective. Start viewing your life from how I view you. A mindset is a pattern of thinking that we operate out of. It shapes how we view life, our attitudes and actions. So let me just ask you, where are there some mindsets that you have, ways of thinking that are shaping how you live, but it's not leading you to being the person that you want to be? What is it that's holding you back? What is it which is a negative mindset that speaks into your head, which then leads to actions? Where might God's thinking be challenging your thinking? I just want to cover one example. One example of how to change our thinking. In Exodus, it tells us that the Egyptians had enslaved the Hebrew people for 400 years. That's 400 years of incredibly hard work across several generations. A slave is only valuable if they're able to work. So if they were ill, they were left. If they were old, they were left to die. So for four centuries, it was instilled into the Hebrew people that their value came from what they did and their work. They served to the purpose of working for the Egyptians. Then Moses comes along and he sets them free from slavery. And to challenge their mindset, God gives them what's known as the Ten Commandments. And one of those commandments challenged this, my value comes from what I do. And he wrote this. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do your work. For 400 years, their value came from what they did, what they achieved. And God was needing to change their thinking. How? By commanding them to have a day off. If any of you here are self-employed, how do you get on with having a day off? If any of you are running a business, how easy is it for you to leave your phone for a whole day and not bother going to it because you're having a day off? For the Hebrews, this was incredibly difficult. This was changing a mindset so deeply embedded. And yet here was God giving them a gift and getting them to pause, to stop, to reflect on God and be reminded that they're human beings, not human doings. God was giving them a chance to reframe who they were. They needed a new mindset. So you rush forward 3,000 years and that mindset still is prevalent. Our value comes from what we do. Doesn't lead us to good places. Adam Peaty, the swimmer, he's won 2 Olympic golds and 1 silver. He's won 8 World Championship gold medals, 17 European titles, 4 golds at the Commonwealth Games. And he spoke recently about a mindset change for him. He said this: I spent most of my life getting my gratification or life fulfillment from my results. And that led me to some dark moments of depression and alcohol problems. He had to take some time out. He was so unwell. And during those struggles, he said that the accolades and the awards that he amassed didn't solve his issues in any way. And then he met a chaplain, an Olympic chaplain called Ashley Null, who got alongside him and last February invited this guy to church. And this is what he said. He said, I've gone in there, this is to church, I've gone in there pretty much with my hood up. It was all pretty scary to me, but then the sermon spoke directly to me and the community was just so welcoming. I felt a huge sense of peace, calmness, grounding and perspective, belonging even. It felt like I was home, in a place where people understand there's a higher level to this very superficial world. In the interview, he says that he now swims, he uses these terms, of liberation and freedom, having been forced to reevaluate his whole life and approach to success. And he goes on to say this, and to get that, the only place I found it was at church. For me, the only fulfillment and the only peace is every Sunday at church. It gives me a nice balance. It's those everyday conversations or prayers that keeps me inspired, but also keeps me on the right track. And this, oh, I love what he says here. I'm not too fussed about gold, silver, bronze, or world records. I've done all that. I've achieved all of that. But this is more of a personal journey. And it's this last phrase, more of a vendetta against my old self. What's he saying? He's saying that my old pattern of thinking has led me to alcohol. It's led me to depression. It's led me to dark places. But I've had a change of mindset now because I don't think that way anymore. I'm going to let go of proving myself through what I do and is discovering a God who is so in love with him that it's changing how he views life. That's the new mindset winning through. More of a vendetta against my old self. So you have got cards on your seats, these catalyst cards, if you just want to pick them up. This is what I want you to consider this week. What mindsets have I adopted that are unhealthy, that are stopping me from becoming the person God created me to be? If you live with low self-worth, it's because you view yourself as a nothing. And God views you as someone so precious, so special, so worth dying for. And it's a mindset shift that can happen when we truly accept that we are made, created, and loved by God. What new mindset do I need to adopt? And finally, what step can I take this week to discover the truth about what God says about me? Developing new, healthy, God-transformed mindsets is a major catalyst for growth. Let me pray. God, I thank you that you don't see things as we do. Lord, so often our minds go to the negative. It goes to kind of poverty thinking. And yet you're a God who sees us as we truly are. People who are known by you, loved by you, forgiven by you, saved by you. Lord, help us to change that mindset, that poverty thinking, and help us to own who we are in you, what it is that you say about us. And help us to receive your grace and your mercy as we trust in you, and trust in all that Jesus has done for us through his death on the cross. Amen.